Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Bat Flips and Nerds season preview podcast, the baseball podcast with a British twist. As usual, you can find us in the normal locations on Twitter at batflips_nerds, on Facebook, facebook.com/batflipsandnerds, and on our new website, batflipsandnerds.com, for blog posts and previous episodes. I'm your host, Ben Carter, and I'm joined today by a familiar name and a man who, as of last night, is a national radio star. It is Tom Pringle. How are you, Tom?
I'm good, mate. I wouldn't say national radio star. It was a good experience, but it's like it was about 6 minutes, I think. A bit of a whirlwind one. But yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah, it did seem a bit frantic. But yeah, no, you and John did an excellent job. Anyone who hasn't listened to it, I'm talking about Nat Coombs' All-American show, which they made a cameo appearance on last night. On to today's podcast. And yeah, we're back to season preview podcast because we have omitted the one team that half our podcast crew support, the Boston Red Sox. So we're giving you a bonus after the season has started preview of the Red Sox, who so far haven't lost a game, Tom. How are they looking this season?
Well, they're clearly going to go 162-0. They're on course for it. And Benintendi should get 162 homers this year, which would be fantastic.
Well, there you go. Thanks for listening, everyone. That's our season preview. So, anyway, we'll start all the way back at last season. What was the story last year for the Red Sox?
I sort of went into it quite tentatively, just thinking that there were so many unknowns going on for last year. So we had Hanley making the switch to first base. We didn't know what Sandoval was going to produce last year. And there's still question marks about the rotation, especially with Porcello, who had had quite a poor year before that. So there's a lot of question marks going in. Obviously, we're all very excited about David Price and what he was going to produce. But there's still that thought of, well, we've got Clay Buchholz at the far end, and then that's about it, really. There's question marks about Stephen Wright, Eduardo Rodriguez, whether he was going to be fit and ready to go. But, yeah, I was sort of went into it with a bit of trepidation. And it ended up that Hanley produced very well at first base. David Price had a good season, despite some of those that were haranguing him on Twitter and having a go at him for it. But he actually did quite well. And then obviously we had Porcello just come out of nowhere, really, and really perform and end up going on to win the Cy Young. But it seemed to flip-flop throughout the season. So we started off hitting very well, but we couldn't pitch. Then we started off pitching really well, but then we couldn't hit. And then after the All-Star break, it all seemed to come together quite nicely. And we ended up taking over the Blue Jays and the Orioles and taking the AL East. I'm quite thankful, though, as we headed towards the trade deadline, that we didn't actually start getting rid of folk like Benintendi and Moncada just to try and get Chris Sale to push us over the edge, because I still didn't think we were there. There was a big last hurrah for David Ortiz and his final season, who had just an incredible final year. But I thought we did the right thing by not trading everyone away and just seeing what we could do. And yeah, so it was obviously disappointing to be swept by the Indians in the end, but I think it was probably the right result, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, you were a bit unlucky to meet an Indian team that were on fire in that postseason. But as you mentioned, in the regular season, there were a lot of advantages. Obviously, David Ortiz had a bit of a fairy tale ending to the year, and you mentioned how good, sort of out of the blue, like you said. Do you expect him to repeat that this year?
I kind of do, really, because he's not really a sort of lights out type pitcher. And I mean, the amount of run support he got last year was just incredible. We were obviously the biggest hitters out of the whole of the MLB. But we also had very few injuries. That's what some people forget. We're very lucky in that sense. I mean, we kept Mookie going the whole year. Pedroia had a great year and stayed fit throughout the whole season as well. And to be fair, our rotation was pretty solid in terms of injuries. So we're very lucky in that sense. I think if we can keep the run support up, which already looking at Benintendi and the way he started, it shouldn't really be that much of an issue for Porcello.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, I think. And you did mention the health there, and health's a bit more of an issue already this year, it looks like, especially with the rotation, because obviously Price has had his well-documented issues. Chris Sale has always flashed up as a risk, and Drew Pomeranz has been a bit flaky from year to year. Do you think our rotation is going to hold up well this year? Are you worried about Price, for example?
I hope so. I'm very concerned about the rotation depth because we've clearly got, I'd potentially say, the best big three in that rotation in all of baseball, with Porcello, Sale and Price in that order, as it looks like at the moment. with those three going forward, they're just incredible. But there's quite a substantial drop off after that with Rodriguez and Stephen Wright, or, you know, Carl Kendricks if he makes a start. It's quite a significant drop off, and if you lose one of those big three, it's going to make a serious difference. But if we can keep it together, and when it comes to the playoff series, obviously you need three swinging four to try and get through that series. I think we stand a good chance, but rotation depth is one of my big worries this year.
Yeah, I think every team always feels like they're lacking a bit of rotation depth, but certainly that's the case for the Red Sox this year. And we mentioned him already, but sort of skirted past the Sale acquisition over the offseason, which was probably the biggest trade of the entire offseason. Did you like that move? Because you mentioned earlier that you were glad you didn't let go of guys like Moncada at the trade deadline. Obviously, he's gone now. Did you think that was a risk worth taking for Dombrowski?
I think if that was the only deal that was going to happen before the trade deadline, then yeah, it probably would have been good. But I don't believe it would have just been Moncada and Kopech. I think there would have been potentially Benintendi involved or somebody else. And I don't think Dombrowski was keen to do it with the season still going on. I mean, Moncada tops a lot of lists all the time. There's been a lot of hype for him, which he's shown throughout AA and AAA as well. But when he actually came to the bigs, he really struggled with those breaking balls. So I'm not saying it's the right move yet, because I don't know what Moncada's going to do. But I was incredibly happy to get Sale. I mean, if any team picked up Chris Sale and lost their number 1/number 2 prospect and, you know, number 3/number 4, and then complained about it, they're being a bit silly, really.
Yeah, I think it's one of those deals where both teams are probably happy with what they got from it. And as you say, it's too early really to call it either way. As for the team this year, what do you particularly like about this team?
The youth. The youth really excites me, actually. With the acquisition of Chris Sale, we've got sort of a 3-year window now where we've got Mookie, we've got JBJ, we've got Benintendi, obviously, for a little bit longer. Pedroia's on his way down, maybe. We've got Bogarts and we've got Sale. I don't know if I've already mentioned him. But they've all sort of got a 3-year window now. And this is it. After these 3 years, you know, it's going to be a case of restocking the farm system and going for it. So the youth really excites me. With Vasquez and, behind the plate. Then we've got Bogarts and Pedroia at shortstop and second, respectively. And then that outfield is just so productive and so quick. It's brilliant to watch.
Yeah, we saw the back end of last year how productive that outfield can be. I mean, Mookie Betts was a legitimate MVP candidate and I think was the favourite in many people's eyes until Trout won it. And Benintendi, I mean, we mentioned earlier, he's on pace for 162 home runs, which might be a little beyond his capabilities, but he's a consensus number 1 prospect in baseball. And I think he's in line for a big season too. So as you mentioned, youth a big deal. What you don't like on this team?
I touched on it briefly, the rotation depth. Some folks still think that trading Clay Buchholz was a bad idea. It was not a bad idea. Whatever your problems are in rotation depth, Clay Buchholz is not the answer. So it does concern me a little bit, but I'm quite convinced we might get some sort of, if needs be, a waiver wire pickup or somebody's on a final year and we can pick that up if needs be. The bullpen's still a little bit shaky. Tyler Thornburg's come in. He's had some issues with his shoulders already, which has been sort of attributed to the shoulder program that the Red Sox run, but I'm not utterly convinced by that. Kimbrel hasn't looked great. I in fact was chatting to John about it the other night, in fact the first game, and I still felt quite nervous seeing Kimbrel come in, which I didn't think I'd ever say. So pitching's a little bit of a concern, but hitting most definitely not.
Yeah, the pitching is probably the one area that this team might fall in trouble. You mentioned the front three being one of the best in baseball, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who'd argue with you on that one. But the bullpen has been an issue for a while for the Red Sox, really. Kimbrel was an odd one, wasn't he? Because the peripheral numbers, strikeout and walk-wise, were all fairly in line with his career, but he did struggle a lot with the home run ball. And like you mentioned, I think Red Sox fans maybe not feeling so confident seeing him trading from the bullpen anymore. Can you see him allaying those fears this year, or do you think it's sort of the slow decline for a guy who was so good for so long?
I do. Obviously, I hope so for the team. But I think Carson Smith's going to be the one when he comes back. I think he's going to make a difference to actually be that setup man and dragging it towards the ninth inning if needs be. I do hope Kimbrel does sort it out. But whenever I watch him, I just feel like he has no idea where that ball's going. There just doesn't seem to be a huge amount of control. And I mean, it's just raw power, isn't it, when he's throwing it down there? It's incredible to watch, but it does scare the hell out of me.
Yeah, that's fair enough. He's always been a guy who, yeah, looks a little bit wild, which I think maybe is what he banks on as being one of those guys who scares his hitters as much as he has dominant stuff. But sometimes it doesn't work out for him as it did last season. Anyway, let's move on to the best player on the 25-man roster. We may have mentioned him already, we may not. Who is the best player on the Boston Red Sox?
I'm pretty biased and I would say Dustin Pedroia, but I think realistically, you've got to look at Mookie Betts. The guy's just incredible. He's so quick in the outfield as well. He could easily play center field. I mean, he came up initially playing in the infield, but they shifted him out to center field because the outfield, because they literally had no room for him. He was meant to be the next man for Dustin Pedroia, but he just kept going. Whether he makes that shift against the infield, I don't think so. I think he'd stay in the outfield now. It seems to be his place to be. But yeah, it's Mookie Betts. Everyone knows him. Everyone knows his name.
Yeah, he's become a household name in the last couple of years, and rightfully so. He's been brilliant, as you mentioned. His defensive metrics in the outfield are ridiculous, which suggests to me, like you mentioned, he probably won't be moving back to the infield, especially given how stacked the Red Sox are there. How about the worst player on this team? Who can you not wait to get rid of?
Fernando Abad, he came in last season and everyone made loads of Abad puns. But yeah, he's terrible. I think last year it quite could have easily been Pablo Sandoval. However, I think he has made that push this year. And, you know, spring training stats don't count, but I think they count for certain people, especially like Jason Hayward and Shelby Miller when he had to go in spring training. They count for those sorts of people. And Pablo Sandoval finishing top of the RBIs in spring training, it doesn't mean anything because they're meaningless games. But for him, that probably means quite a lot. So, yeah, it's Fernando Abad. He's awful at the bullpen. And it just, again, it's one of those that I've been saying for years about the Red Sox. I just don't get that faith when the bullpen comes trotting out. You go, this is it. We've got it tied up. It's all done. Another thing I texted John the other night was like, I wonder what it's like to have like Betances and Chapman, because you must just put your feet up and grab your beer and go, this is done. We're finished.
Yeah, that'd be a nice feeling. And I'm sure, although obviously we saw last year in the postseason how Chapman can fall apart at the most important time. So you never know. Although I would say he's probably a notch above Abad. He's probably an example of one of those guys who has a job because he's a lefty and probably hasn't been good for a while. But left-handed pitchers, such rare commodities in the majors that he's always going to have.
That's exactly the same as me when I was playing football at Sunday League. Because I was left-footed, I used to always get a game. And I used to think, oh, I'm actually quite good. I wasn't. I was terrible. But because I was left-footed, I could play on the left, and that was somebody who could fill a gap.
Well, there you have it, Tom Pringle, the Fernando Abad of his football team. words. Anyway, moving on from Abad, and actually I wanted to go back. You mentioned Sandoval there, and obviously it's tough to do a Red Sox podcast these days without mentioning him. It looks like he's being given the third base job fairly permanently to start the season. Do you think he's going to run off with that? I mean, you mentioned he had a good spring, obviously encouraging signs there. He's always been a player who hasn't exactly endeared himself to the Red Sox fan base. Can you see him having a long leash at third base?
I think he will, because there's pretty much no one to take his place. With the trading of Travis Shaw happening to get Tyler Thornburg, to get Tyler Thornburg, it seems like the Red Sox are utterly committed to him being there. With his salary, they're not going to drop him down to AAA and leave him there. They want to get some production out of him. So, I think he's going to have the longest leash possible. Unless he gets injured, he's staying there for the season.
Yeah, I like that. And actually, really quickly, I wanted to play a game of Bartolo Colon game. And one very quick round. For those of you who didn't listen to that podcast, we Google various catchphrases within quote marks. So just those phrases come up. And it's up to the guest to guess how many results there are. Someone's going to be the one for Sandoval. Last time we overestimated wildly, but how many results do you think there are for Pablo Sandoval belt?
Ooh, that's a good one. Do you know what? I'm trying to think now what Chubby Bartolo Colon was. I'm going to say 110,000.
110,000, okay. Well, I can tell you it is not that many. It is 2,930.
Oh, I'm disappointed.
Not as big a search as you might have thought. interestingly, that is still more results than come up for Pablo Sandoval fat. So I'm not sure if that's a good thing for Pablo, but belt, a more likely search term, apparently. We can move on to an outside player on this Red Sox roster who you feel is not being recognised for his talents.
I'm a big fan of Brock Holt. is not particularly productive at times. He's quite a streaky player, but I think he got recognised in, when was it, 15 in the All-Star game, when he was the only Red Sox guy that got picked. He's just so good because he's so versatile. I mean, he talks about the fact that he takes about 7 gloves with him to each game to make sure he can fit into any position. And he's great for that. He's not particularly good in left field, but he can, again, fill a gap. Not particularly productive with a bat, but he's the sort of guy that just gives all his heart for every single game. And it's just great to watch.
Rockstar. I like that one. Yeah, he's the kind of player who really endears himself to a fan base because he works hard, he's scrappy. He's not particularly necessarily gifted naturally, but gives his all on the field. And I think he'll probably be a familiar name for fantasy owners because he's one of the few players I've ever seen who is eligible at every position other than catcher, which makes him very useful for those in fantasy teams.
Definitely. I just need to mention Robbie Ross Jr. for the sake of John as well. He was desperate for me to mention him. I'm not particularly that fond of him, but John loves him. So there we go.
Robbie Ross Jr. gets a token mention. Okay, let's move on to some of the quickfire questions. What is your one bold or wild prediction for this season?
Let's think. I think an easy one might be that the Red Sox will win it all, but I think that's quite a standard one looking at the bookmakers, what they're looking for. So let's say that there's two big injuries to the rotation and the Red Sox actually finish fourth in the AL East.
Ooh, that's a depressing prediction for Red Sox fans. I'm assuming one you don't particularly want to come true. Covering your bases on that one. Interesting. And I feel like I might know the answer to this one because you posted your predictions on Twitter the other day. But assuming everything doesn't fall to show, fall to bits, like you said it would, how do you expect this team to do win total wise?
I think it's going to be quite tight in the AL East. I did put that they'd win the AL East with the Blue Jays becoming the wild card. But I think it's pretty much going to be between those two. I would say they might be edging just over 90. But I'm not sure it's going to be that easy, especially with that Blue Jays rotation. It's so strong.
Yeah, that's a tough division as well. I think there are 4 teams, maybe 5 teams, who can realistically contend at least for a wild card spot. So there's no real gimme teams in that division, which makes it tough on the Red Sox. And like you mentioned, the Blue Jays are going to push them all the way. So it'll be interesting to watch. That's definitely a division. It always seems like one worth watching, but this year perhaps more than ever. On to the sillier questions. And who would get the kebab after the team's gone for a night out?
I think it's too easy to pick Pablo Sandoval. So I'm going to put it more in the sense that it's somebody who's gone for the kebab and gone, right, we'll have this and crack on and get boozing again. And that's got to be Dustin Pedroia. He's such a fighter. He's so scrappy. He'd be that annoying little bloke who wants to go out and he's been gobbed off by somebody and he wants to go and fight him. It'd be Dustin Pedroia.
Yeah, there are some extraordinary stories, aren't there, from Pedroia, especially I think in his college days about the lip he had on him. I can imagine him being a good laugh on a night out and definitely a man who would not be the one suggesting they should go home. So Pedroia for a kebab, that could be an enjoyable one. As for the taxi ride home, who is keeping Sturm and claiming not to have any cash?
I would have said Clay Buchholz if he was still on the team, but he's not there.
Had to get the dig in.
I think I'm going to go for Alan Craig, who is currently not on the team and down in AAA, but people will probably know that name. But I, do you know what? I just wonder what Alan Craig actually talks about. Does he sit in the clubhouse just going, I don't care if we win or lose today, I'm still collecting my money? Because there seems to be no push room to actually get into the 25-man roster. So I'm going to say Alan Craig. It's a bit of a cheat because he's not quite on the team, but I think he'd just be like, not interested.
Alan Craig, the man. Even if he's not part of the 25-man roster, he's still the one refusing to pay for the taxi ride home. Not his biggest fan, are you? I'd have to say
no.
Okay. Who on this Red Sox team isn't even going on the night out? Great British Bake Off with his missus.
I think it's Jackie Bradley Jr. He posts a lot of pictures on Twitter of him and his missus at the beach. Here's a selfie of us. Here's us doing nice things together. I think he gives all the impression that he's one of the lads, he's one of the boys doing his outfield dance, when realistically it's like, all right, boys, I'll see you later. You're going to come out for a beer? No, but I'll catch up with you. I'll give you a call later. He's that guy that never, ever rings, never, ever texts, never comes out.
Oh, one of those guys who has an excuse at 8 p.m. suddenly can't make it.
Definitely.
Jackie Bradley. That's awful. Okay. Sorry, you might be a nice guy, Jackie, but we've decided now. Who on this team is most likely to drive barefoot Dundee in true Alan Partridge style?
I think, and it's not one of the players, I think it's going to be John Farrell, the manager.
Okay.
I think he just picks these pitches and he goes, right, I know this guy's really good against a left-hander. I know this guy's really good against a right-hander. Let's roll him out now and see what happens. And they come out of the bullpen and they are utter tripe. And he'd probably just send him crazier throughout the whole season. And I think he'd just go mad one day and break, and he'll just disappear. And everyone will be like, where's John gone? And he'll just be there with his Toblerone and chocolate, just sat looking out the window. Lynn, I've got a white one.
Oh, no, that's good. We'll have to keep poor Farrell on Partridge Watch this year then, and see the slow descent into madness as the bullpen continue to fail him. And the final question, sort of a twist on one I did with the Rockies. Who would be the one player on your team you nominate in a bare-knuckle fight for the American League to decide between DH and no DH?
Hold on, is this going to be from the Red Sox or just from the American League?
I think it's got to be from the Red Sox, personally. But if there's someone particularly from the American League you prefer, I'll let you off.
No, not particularly. I was just thinking then, could we have somebody else? But... okay, so I think an easy pick would be Dustin Pedroia as the little scrappy guy who's just going to keep fighting. But yeah. I'm going to go for the guy that's packed on a load of weight this season. And I don't mean Pablo Sandoval type weight. I mean actual muscle. And also fantastic, glorious hair. And that's Andrew Benintendi, who has grown his hair back and he's packed on a load of muscle. So he's going to be my guy who's going to go and swing in. He's going to be that pretty young boy rookie everyone thinks doesn't stand a chance, and he's going to take the title.
There you have it, the hottest name in Boston, Benintendi, and he's the man fighting to the death, the designated hitter. That'll be a fight worth watching, I'm sure. Anyway, back to the Red Sox, and can you recommend a Twitter account or blog or beat writer that you enjoy whilst following the Red Sox?
Over the Monsters Good, which is the SB Nation blog for the Red Sox. There's a guy called Brian Joyner who writes some cracking stuff, and he's a really nice guy as well. We've also got the BP Boston, so the Baseball Prospectus Boston website's very good. Doesn't seem to update very often, but the articles seem quite good. And then if you want sort of a bit of silliness, a bit of Barstool type thing, then go and look up Jared Karobis. He's a good guy, does a lot of good writing, and it's not technically fully Barstool, so it's not like Rate This Babe type posts. He does a lot more pure baseball type stuff, but he's an honest fanboy. He's quite happy to say that. He's a bit like Bill Simmons in that sense, and there's plenty of swearing on it, so it is quite funny to read.
Yeah, I've read some of Jared's stuff before. He is good, so I can second that one. And that just about wrapped up our podcast. So thank you, everyone, for joining us on this bonus preview podcast. I'd like to thank Tom for joining me. People should know us to find you by now, Tom, but in case they don't, where are you?
So it's at Pedroia's Face, so the second baseman of the Boston Red Sox.
Excellent. As always, you can contact the show on Twitter at batflips_nerds, on Facebook, facebook.com/batflipsandnerds, and you can email us on tom@batflipsandnerds.com. Please do check out our brand new website. I've been putting up some content this week. I know yourself, John, Darius will be putting more stuff up in the weeks to come, so keep following us there. Make sure to subscribe and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. Tell your friends about us, send us questions, and thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.